22 minutes past the hour, and it's a Tuneful Tuesday here along the Broken Road, and we greet, well, the only scientist on staff here. Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, a biochemist and a vigneron and a member of the Board of Creation Moments. Don, happy Tuesday. How are things in the Garden Valley today?
Well, I think it's going to be a little cooler today. We've got overcast skies, so it looks like maybe the highs in 92, and so low 90s instead of the upper 90s.
That's kind of a cool wave, because we got a report from a listener in Oklahoma today. It's only in the mid-60s, and David says up there in East Dakota it'll be in the mid-50s tonight, so...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, autumn is a funny thing sometimes, especially up north there. It just sneaks in before you even expect it. I've seen August, early August, where it all just turns. Just in a day, in an afternoon, it can switch, and you just know that summer, bye-bye.
Yeah. So long, summer.
Don, I have a scientific question for you.
Now, what's that?
As you know, I'm a keen observer of the natural world. You do know that. Okay. Weird cloud formations get my attention, and I go, oh, look. Or I'll look at woolly caterpillars, and I'll say, aha. And then they may be happening. You might be seeing those in East Dakota right now, meaning an early start to winter. Well, recently I've become transfixed by the whirlpool that forms in the bathtub after my morning shower. And I stare at it as it forms, and it starts to whirl around, and it's so beautiful and so graceful, you know, because if there's a couple inches of water, it doesn't form, but then as the water picks up speed, it just starts turning and turning and turning, and I've noticed every day it turns in the same direction. That is clockwise. Now, for those of you listening who have never seen an analog clock, that's like if you're tightening a screw. You know, that's clockwise. But then yesterday... something different happened, and it got my attention, and I figured, alien invasion? End of the world? What could this mean? It turned counterclockwise.
Really?
Now, how can this happen, Don? How can this happen? Really? Now,
the only way that could have happened was if the north was the south and the south was the north.
Well, that's what I hear, because what northern hemisphere, it's supposed to be clockwise. Southern hemisphere, it would be counterclockwise. And if you're right on the equator, what happens? Confusion? No whirlpool?
No whirlpool. I guess it just goes down straight.
Yeah. How boring could that be?
Yeah. Now, maybe you got your clocks mixed up. And what looked like counterclockwise was actually
I told you I'm a keen observer.
Now, when I was in Nigeria, the toilets would flush straight down. It would just whoosh, and everything would drop.
Well, that's pretty close to the equator, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty close to the equator.
Okay.
So I think I've observed that.
Well, toilet's kind of violent compared to like an innocent bathtub draining where the water's clear and you can just kind of, but it turns clockwise, and it turned clockwise today, but yesterday it was rapidly, and I mean rapidly, counterclockwise, and I'm a little worried.
Well, yes, I think that probably indicates that the world is turning upside down.
Okay. I knew it was something cataclysmic that was going on, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so that was an event that you should have captured it on film.
Oh, darn, I didn't. It's rare that I have my cell phone in the shower with me, so okay.
Yeah.
I could have taken a picture of it. All right.
That is odd, unless you got it started in the wrong direction. And
no, I just stood there. I wasn't doing anything. Just watching, because I like to watch this. It's graceful and it's beautiful. But it went backwards yesterday, and I thought maybe could this be the magnetic field of the Earth flip-flopping? You know. So anyway, if you can't answer it, I don't know who to ask now. So we'll move on to smart bees, and I'll stop worrying about an alien invasion then.
Okay. I don't think, you know, if it continued in that counterclockwise direction, I think we'd have a problem.
Okay. Well, just one day then. An anomaly. You know, just, it was an anomaly.
In science, we call that an aberration. So we repeat the experiment.
Yeah.
Until it gets it right.
Well, how can I repeat that? I could just run water again. And, okay. I'll keep a log. Yeah. They'll get scientific about this. Then I'll keep notes. Pass those. I'll email you. I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. That sounds great.
And maybe I'll take a video, but probably not.
Mm.
All right.
Just have it, you know, have it in your bathroom just in case. And then we can have scientific proof.
Yeah, I think so.
Aha, well, there's something going on in the world.
I could write a scientific paper about it, and my peers would let me publish it if I had any peers. We're talking about bees today, actually. Bees are, you know, we underestimate animals and critters. I've heard it said that if there's any species that would have the easiest time taking over the world, it would be the insects, probably like ants, because there's so many of them. And we hear time and time again how hardworking ants are and the amazing things they can do physically. But there's not a lot of discussion about what they can do mentally. Do we just assume that bugs are stupid and that animals are not bright? And is that fair to them?
Well, we equate brain size with intelligence, and therein lies the problem, apparently, because bees, you know, if you've ever dissected one, which I haven't, but if you ever do, you'll find that they don't have such a large brain, but they can do some amazing things, and it's been recently discovered that they can do some really amazing things. And so, you know, we know from earlier research that bees can communicate with one another, and they do this through a complex dance routine. So let's say a hive has a bunch of bees in it, and there's the scout bees that go out and search for food. And so the scout bees go out, and they finally find, you know, a flower bed or whatever they're looking for. And they come back to the hive, and then they dance around to show the other bees in which direction and how far they have to go to find the food. Now, that in itself is pretty amazing.
It's kind of like a language, but it's kind of like sign language, huh?
Well, it's a dancing language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the dancing language of the bees. And if perhaps, you know, if humans would imitate the dancing language of the bees, we might have a more peaceful, you know, society. Instead of yelling at each other, we just dance around each other.
Well, I think of hip hop, and I'm not sure I would like that.
Well, it'd be more physical, obviously, and we could get a little bit more exercise. But we could be a lot more expressive, and it would be a quieter environment. But anyway, the bees can do some other extraordinary things that have been relatively newly discovered. And, you know, bees, for example, well, if you look at the number of neurons in a bee brain compared to the number of neurons in a human brain, you know, human brains are 3 pounds, and bees as I said, very, very small. A bee brain only has 1 million neurons, whereas a human brain has 86 billion neurons.
Who counted that, I wonder?
Well, somebody with a lot of patience.
I think so.
Because that would take a lot of time for the human brain.
Mm-hmm.
Although they probably just counted a small section and then weighed it and said, okay, we're assuming that there's going to be this much.
Approached it scientifically. Then. Okay.
Yeah, they did statistical.
They kind of rounded up.
One.
Rounded up.
Two.
Or down. No,
three.
Yeah, it was. So that, you know, you give those type of tasks to your interns.
It's true.
To do.
Would you count this? Would you come over and count this for me?
I was involved in stuff like that at one time. But
here, hold this, and then count these things.
Can you count this?
Was it having them count them, or you were actually doing it yourself?
No, I wasn't counting them. I mean,
you were having somebody else.
Well, you do. So as an intern or a postdoc, you know, you sometimes have to do the grunt work in order to get the research done.
Yeah.
So you do experiments and you repeat experiments and you repeat experiments.
Kind of like a yeah. worker bee, hey?
Yeah, like a worker bee. Yeah. Speaking about bees, what other abilities do they have? Well, they have found, for example, that bees can learn to slide or lift cats. Now, I don't know what they did in order to entice a bee to do that, but they can learn to lift cats, and they bring that knowledge. Now, here's the amazing thing. Of course, there's a reward, let's say, at the under the cap, and so the bee is trying to get under the cap. Mm-hmm. But they take that knowledge back to the hive, and somehow they teach it to the other bees.
Sounds.
So bees that haven't learned this behavior come back and know how to do it immediately. That's pretty impressive. You know, that's
astounding.
That tells
a
lot about their ability to communicate. I mean, how do you communicate if you're a bee? You take your little bee hands and you kind of form a cap and say you lift it up here. I mean, how do you communicate that other than you're doing again your dance in order to communicate this? So that's pretty amazing. They've also found that they have some cognitive abilities and abstract numbers, because they can identify a piece of paper, let's say, with zero dots on it, and a piece of paper that has a few dots. And they can distinguish between those.
So they differentiate. So,
they differentiate between that. So now they're doing, the concept of zero is one that we thought was relegated to, more higher intelligence. Mm-hmm. So they can identify an empty set versus one that's not so empty, if you will. So parrots, of course, have this ability, and primates and school children. Well, I hope
preschool, yeah. Yeah.
Have this ability, but
they used to
preschool children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not just school children. Mm-hmm. they can identify something empty versus something that has something in it. So these are the ability of the bee. Scientists have said that this is extraordinary. It says in one of the paragraphs here, it says, such unprecedented cognitive flexibility hints that entirely novel behaviors could emerge relatively swiftly in species whose lifestyle demands advanced learning abilities, such should the relevant ecological pressures arise. So... What they basically are saying is that the bees have a very, very good ability, quick ability to learn quickly, and then obviously transmit that to their other bees in order to for the species to survive.
I'm curious here. I wonder, because I'm thinking of this as a little computer, a little bee computer. Do you remember when they were first putting together, or I don't know, coding or learning the human genome? There were various and sundry movements out there by companies to engage computers all across the country and around the world that would do part of the work part of the time. And so you could volunteer your computer to be used in the process of what's the word? Calculating, identifying, reading the human genome. Bees are, you usually see them out in the flowers in a few numbers, but then they go back to a hive where there might be hundreds or even thousands, and they kind of get together. I wonder if they actually share brain power, processing power with each other, if somehow a mass of bees is smarter than a single bee. Now, there's a theory from a keen observer of nature.
Right. This is stuff that science fiction is made of.
Mm-hmm. Conspiracy theorists, yeah.
You know, yeah, one robot is pretty dumb, but mm-hmm. if you've got a collection of robots, they can be pretty smart because, as you say, they're sharing their little bit of information, a little bit of knowledge, creating a lot of knowledge. I don't know the answer to that, but it seems like the group is pretty darn intelligent, and maybe God designed them that way to be able to, as they say, survive, have flexibility, know when it's time to, let's say, leave one hive and create a new one if there's dangers involved. And these various things, they certainly have the ability to change when the queen is running out of juice, if you will, to create a second queen so that the hive can continue by feeding just one of the young, the eggs, if you will, and the young royal jelly. That's amazing. You know, mm-hmm. just the food that they eat can create a queen, pretty much on demand as the need arises. So the society of bees, they're a lot more cooperative than human society is, especially within a given hive. They do have the ability to fight off, competitor bees, if you will. They've got the worker bees, and you've got the army bees, if you will, to help fight off threats.
You're describing an organized society, and we've seen that with other species of insects and with sea creatures. I'm thinking dolphins and whales, pods of whales, how they work together, hunt together, cooperate with each other to achieve whatever their little dolphin minds have. But and I don't mean to sound smug, because I'm thinking we're discovering constantly that animals know more than we think they do, and mm-hmm. it's just because they can't talk to us that we assume they're not so bright, that somehow we are superior. And I think wouldn't we're superior in the sense, I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
I'd say, wouldn't that be an air force of bees?
What? I guess it would be
an air force of bees.
Yeah, it's like I would think an army of bees would be.
There's an army of ants. Yeah.
Creeping and crawling on the ground, but mm-hmm. I think your air force of bees would be the ones that be flying around in the air. But I digress.
Yes, you do. Derailed my whole train of thought here. No, I'm thinking Air Force. That's
right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
now, Jim was on a particularly intelligent and poignant point.
Of course, I was. Yeah.
And I'm just curious if we've talked long enough that we've got him off of that point.
Well, I don't know. But the cognitive ability of a group of bees as opposed to a single bee, and, that being greater than the individual, is an interesting concept. As Jim said, that this is not a unique feature of bees. I mean, ants do the same thing. Ants lay down chemical signals as they find food, and so you see ants walking in a straight line, or not necessarily straight, but following one after the other because of the chemical signals that the leader or the scout ants have laid down to the food source. And here we have bees communicating with one another so that they can say, hey, the food source is over there in that direction.
And in that distance. I understand they could communicate the distance as well. Yeah.
Right. They can pinpoint it quite accurately. I guess the point is that when you look at this from a creation point of view versus a evolutionary point of view, how in the world could you fathom, bees evolving into this type of this type of behavior and abilities? How would they survive if they didn't have these abilities? And of course, you know, if you take a hive and just even surmise that randomly they're going out and finding food, and then every bee has to randomly find the same food, the hive wouldn't survive for very long. Mm-hmm. But having this ability built into them by a creator makes a whole lot more sense than this whole thing just kind of evolving. And, even if you say this evolved over, millions of years, for example, you can't just think about how these abilities could have possibly, happened over a short period of time, over a long period of time, even, much less a short period of time.
It seems that the whole hypothesis, I refuse to call it a theory anymore, and the hypothesis of evolution discounts intellect. That is, the ability to consciously make decisions based upon environmental stimuli. It assumes a biological progression that seems to me is easily short-circuited by intelligent decisions, or decisions made by communities that could communicate with each other.
And the more, I think, as we've talked about before, the more one looks at God's creation, the more you see design, the more you see intelligence, the more you see complexity beyond anything we could possibly, ever imagine. So it's not that you have the little bee running around and he's got a little brain that, obviously serves his purpose, because he's got to be able to see and got to be able to fly. Mm-hmm. But there's much more to it, than that. And so comparing 1 million neurons to 86 billion neurons, there has to be built in such computerization, if you will, such programming from the very beginning that allows them to survive and to do these marvelous things, and things that we can say, wow, we didn't even know that they could do that. That's amazing.
I may go out on a limb here, but it seems like human beings can do the same thing, or do the same thing. I mean, I feel a lot smarter when I talk to you guys on Tuesdays.
I see. See
what it is?
Yeah, we have the same ability. We know what zero is, and we've experienced zero. That is the lack of something. But we also have the ability to teach. I mean, our classroom kids are going back to school, and hopefully they're going back to learn something that will help them in life. But to learn skills and learn how to read, learn how to do math, those type of things. It's a lot easier and a lot quicker. It's a lot quicker process, for example, if let's just say you don't know how to weld. So you get somebody who's skilled in welding and they show you and they say, well, no, you don't do it that way. You do it this way. You're going to pick up that task, that skill, a lot quicker than if, you're left to your own devices. You might electrocute yourself if you have an arc welder, for example, versus someone saying, now don't touch this.
Well, here's another look at that whole process then. It's just kind of a parting thought. Perhaps the more complex the intelligence, the more error-prone it is. I wonder how many mistakes a bee makes in communicating wrong information. And yet human scientists, for decades now, have been communicating wrong information. Let's get that fixed and see what happens. Don Clark, member of the board of Creation Moments, I want to recommend their website to you. It's creationmoments.com. It's a brand new website, good looking site too, and you'll find vast resources there that It has to do with the science of the biblical creation story. You ought to take a look at creationmoments.com. Don, we thank you again. Always appreciate your joining us on Tuesdays. We'll look forward to next week. See you then.
Very good. Yes.
See you, Don.
You folks have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.